Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host today is Janet Entine. And we're speaking with Dr. Alec Hochstein, who is a podiatrist in Great Neck, right on Bond Street, across from La Rotunda. So,
shout out for Italian food.
They got a shout out. That's fine. Just, you know, one thing I would like to talk about is preventative.
I wrote down.
Okay. what you should do just normally.
Right. What would you advise people?
I don't wear socks. Is that something people should do or shouldn't do?
I'm a big fan of socks.
Okay.
I find a lot of people come in with problems because they're not doing that. They come in, why do my feet smell? A very simple question. Why do I have a sore, or why do I have this cracking in between my toes? A lot of times it's about moisture. You know, if you think about the foot as opposed to any other part of your body, you know, we generally are keeping it closed in the shoe.
Right.
It's a dark, moist area. We have a lot of sweat glands, you know, in the foot. And so if you don't have something on the foot wicking that moisture away, it will just sit there. It will cause malodor, and it will cause skin breakdown, and that will cause other problems. You know, bacteria, funguses, viruses really like moist environments. That's why going to the gym and being at the pool or being at a dojo or a dance studio and walking around barefoot is a great breeding ground for these things. That's why spas that are not sterile are great breeding grounds for this. So a lot of it is, yes, protection, wearing the right clothes, changing your shoes. Don't wear the same shoe every single day.
Right.
Pay a little more
attention.
Well,
that's for your foot.
Sure.
I thought that was for the shoe. I mean, sincerely, like you're going to ruin your shoes.
You're putting your foot in the shoe, so it obviously spills over.
Right, going in
it. But yeah, that's what you want to do. You want to, definitely rotate them around. And then we have shoe sprays and things that you can also spray in just for the malodor to decrease the amount of bacteria and funguses inside of a shoe as well.
Right.
But just normal, usually, in a person who doesn't have a tremendous history, normal daily hygiene is fine. And if you see something
What is normal hygiene?
You know, just like your normal shower, mm-hmm. wash your foot with a mild soap. Definitely take that extra time to dry in between the toes. In between every toe is basically like another armpit, right? So you dry your armpit after your shower. You got to get in between the toes. We call it the interspaces. And spend a little bit more time in there. That's where a lot of people end up with trouble. They tell me, oh, it's very wet in here. I have an infection in here. And it's because they're not drying it. So some little things you could do at home, like a touch of iodine will help dry something, dry like that up. I'm not a big powder guy. I find that kind of cakes up. I don't mm-hmm. love powders.
Okay.
But a good natural fiber sock, some now have bamboo or cotton, are great.
What about lotions? I know people, you see them on TV, everybody's mm-hmm. rubbing their feet with something.
Yeah. Lotions are good. I prefer lotions over ointments. You know, people are like, well, what's a lotion? What's a cream? What's an ointment? But just the easiest way to think about it is an ointment is oil-based.
Right.
So you use an ointment when you're extremely dry.
Right.
If you already have a wet foot, you don't want to be putting an ointment on.
Okay.
If you are, very dry, then, of course, an ointment might be better. And ointments also tend to be more potent. So mm-hmm. if you're dealing with, let's say, an itch or an allergy, your dermatologist or podiatrist may prescribe an ointment-based steroid because it's a little more potent for you.
Okay.
Lotions are kind of water and powder mixed together. That's a great way to think about
mm-hmm.
it. So you can put a lotion on and it dries very well, and then you just left with that residual powder feel on it. So I like lotions especially for my diabetics.
Yeah, and they should do that every day.
Yeah, once a day, the foot and leg, just to keep that skin hydrated, because the skin really is the protection. That's the barrier between the inside and the outside.
A sock, we had talked socks. Color socks are fine, or no?
Color socks are fine. Sometimes I'll have a patient come to me, and they're dealing with an infection, and I'll tell them to switch to a white sock. And they say, well, why? What's the difference if I wear a blue sock or a black sock? And the reason is because some infections will actually survive a wash cycle if you don't use Clorox. And you can't put black socks in with Clorox. So I say use a white sock that you can use as a and use a sanitizing agent.
Right.
So it's not the color so much.
Oh, I know. Oh, okay. I'm thinking it's the color, the color comes out into the cut.
Yeah, I mean, look,
that's
some
what
people,
I was thinking.
Some people could have a reaction to that kind of, but usually not. It's usually about the fact that I want you to sanitize your sock.
And you can't get it clean.
Right.
Interesting.
You can't get it
clean. Okay. No, because that I've heard people will wind up with a white sock.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, and what about sandals?
Look, sandals in the right.
I mean, because therefore, it's air.
We all live in the world, and you know, we live in Nassau County, and everyone loves their sandals, and the Hamptons loves their sandals. And yes, you just have to be smart about it, right? Obviously, if you have an open sore or something
right.
going on, you want to be smart. I know this is a senior program, but obviously, you know, I see children, and you know, they go to camp, and they want to wear their sandals, and you know, they come home with warts and all kinds of things on their feet, but. Sandals are great. You just have to protect when necessary.
Right. Actually, yeah, this is a senior program, but people have children, people have
grandchildren.
You just brought up an important point, camps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a grandparent should tell their daughter or son or whoever it happens to be to watch the kids coming from camp. I'm not even paying attention. Yeah. A 9-year-old, you think they're going to be the healthiest thing, but they can catch something.
Yeah, kids, I mean, usually, you know, it's funny. You get a phone call from a certain age group, and I can almost tell you what the complaint is. You know, if I get somebody calling me up on the phone and says, oh, my 4-year-old has a callus on their foot, it's generally not a callus. How many 4-year-olds have calluses? But they do get warts, or ingrown toenail, or they have a flat foot. And they have their own, you know, host of, you know, deformities, and they're growing and changing all the time. So it's a full family type of practice. Podiatry treats everybody from, you know, birth to, like I said, the oldest person I saw this week was 103.
Wow.
Okay, and that's important you just said that because, you know, you have a pediatrician and you have a GP.
Right.
But you guys there in your practice, you can take a child that has something wrong with their foot to a 103-year-old, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it depends on the practice. Our practice is very comfortable treating that entire gamut.
Right.
Some people just keep their practice limited to athletes, you know, in
podiatry. Right, okay.
That's what's interesting. My practice is a general family practice. So, yeah, from, you know, birth to whenever they leave me.
Right, okay. That's interesting. It really is. And, you know, the point is, people don't pay attention because, obviously, you're not paying attention to your feet that often. But once they go, you're in trouble. You get a pain because I, you know, you cut your foot or something once in a while. It's like you're hobbling from here to there. You start hobbling, then your back is going, then this is going, then that's going. Then it's like, I'm just going to sit in the chair today.
Yes. They say, you know, once your feet hurt, everything hurts.
Yeah.
And it's true. And if you're laid up, it will affect your life. You know, you can't get up out of bed. And this is Project Independence, right? And a lot of my patients use Project Independence and the services that you use to get to me or to get
to the store.
Or, they'll call the taxi to help them. And it's fantastic that they can, you know, age in their home, you know, through Project Independence. But if they have a pain, they can't get to the store. They can't get nutrition.
Right.
And they can't get to their program. And they doesn't keep their mind going. And then they get depressed. And so locomotion and being able to move is key.
Now, I'm putting you on the spot with this question, but a friend of mine has that, whatever you call it, you know, the numb foot.
The neuropathy.
And he's in Colorado, but he was told he rolls his feet on something like that needs dough. You know, like one of those rolling pins?
Uh-huh.
With bumps on it.
Right, just to kind of give him a little stimulation in there to help the muscles and the, you know, loosen up and the ligaments, because when you don't have that tactile feeling, when you don't feel,
it feels nothing.
Yeah,
I have two people that feel nothing. They said, "I said, you mean they're just like a little numb?"
Yeah.
No, he says, "I feel nothing."
Yeah, it's like wood. It's a very dense neuropathy, and it's very dangerous. I mean, think about all the things that you would not feel if you couldn't feel your feet. Like you don't know where you are in space. That's when really bad things happen, like falls.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the other things we do in our practice. People who have neuropathy, and we work in conjunction with their neurologist, you know, we do things to help their balance. That's when you know a patient may need an assisted device, whether it's a cane or a walker or something of that nature to keep them from falling. A numb foot is one thing. A broken hip on the floor knows you're there for 2 days is a life-threatening situation.
Right.
You had a question, Janet?
No, I was just going to say I recently, in my old age, engaged a trainer, and one of the things that she teaches me all of the time is moving the foot exercises, because that also helps, I think, if you have any tendency toward neuropathy, just sitting still, using the foot, doing foot exercises.
Keeping the muscles and the tendons limber and just knowing where you are in space. You know, when we close our eyes and you put your hand, you know your hand's in the air. You know your foot is to the right or the left. Mm-hmm. That's called proprioception, and that is one of the things that we lose when we get neuropathy as we age. And to keep that, you see the difference between people who walk with an unsteadied gait versus people who walk with a normal gait pattern. And that is can be a big difference between being able to stay in your home and having to be in an assisted facility.
Exactly.
One, we're close to an end. Not last question, but we'll see. High heel shoes, since it's basically ladies in the room.
Yeah, I don't wear them. but listen, we live here on the North Shore of Long Island. That's not going away anytime soon. You know, we all like them.
I went out to dinner three nights ago. I'm not even going to mention the place in Great Neck. Everybody came in. They were this high. They were spikes. I'm like, why would you do it?
Because, you know, it looks good. It gives you that elongated look, and it makes the muscles pop out. And listen, you know, husbands like it, and wives like it. So is it a great orthopedic stance to be in? Definitely not. But listen, this is Nassau County and, you know, Suffolk County, and we're going to...
Anything in moderation,
right? Yeah, we're not I don't think we're giving up our heels anytime soon.
Right, no, okay. I just right. brought it up, looking around. It's like, right. You see some of them, it's just, how do you do this to you? You know, everything is getting squashed. Mm-hmm. But it's the truth. And, you know, years ago, you got your shoes. I remember growing up, my mother used to take us, you know, they measured you with the thing.
And of course,
you just go to DSW and you try to figure out which one feels good.
Well, yeah, see, and again, at a podiatrist's office, you know, we keep a Brannick device there, which is that old-time shoe, you know, so we know what size shoe you're getting. And you would be shocked how many times a patient comes in where they have contracted toes or hammer toes. I don't understand why this is happening. And the reason is because, yeah, when you were 30 years old, you were a size 8 shoe, but you've had 4 kids, and you've gained 30 pounds since then, and you're now a size 9.5.
Right.
But they still are in their
they're still buying
high school. You know, so it's it has to be changed, and it has to be looked at.
Oh, a hammer toe that's created?
Yes, it can. It's something that can be created. It's basically an arthritic condition that occurs over time to muscle imbalance.
Okay, terrific. Mm-hmm. Listen, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Again, it's Dr. Alec Hochstein, who is in Great Neck on Bond Street. Just give out your number one more time.
516-482-5999.
And your address?
7 Bond Street, like James Bond.
Perfect. This was terrific, and it's very informative.
Thank you.
We thank people like you for coming and taking the time to come on the show and educate the seniors.
My pleasure. Thanks for doing this.
You've been listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.